بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear travelers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As you may have noticed, the NHL hockey playoffs as well as the NBA basketball playoffs are well underway, and we are very close to the finals, and the Montreal Canadiens finally won yesterday, which is some good news, alhamdulillah. Now, at the beginning of the season, the effort and motivation that is put in by the team is a lot different than what it is mid-season, than what it is at the end of the season, right? So when they start off with the preseason games, and, you know, they know it doesn't really matter, so, you know, they're just playing light and easy, they don't want to get injured. And when they get to the halfway mark, the midway mark of the season, then they know, okay, things are heating up a little bit, now we need to get our act together, we need to get a little bit more serious. And then when they're in the playoff race, then they know that, okay, we really need to work harder, especially if they're at risk of not making the playoffs. And then once the playoffs start, there's game one, and then game one's like, okay, it's not all that. And then as they get closer to elimination, the pressure goes up. As the pressure goes up, the motivation also goes up. And then they have a greater incentive to work even harder, to work together, you know, to put more effort into working together as a team so that they can win the series. And then they win, you know, the first round, then the second round, and then they're getting closer to the finals. It's like, wow, we can actually do this, right? We're actually close to making it to the championship, to the Stanley Cup finals. So now the effort and the motivation and the incentive to work hard and to really get it done gets greater and greater, right? So there's different motivations at each level. And this is how most of us operate. If we have an incentive, if we have something to motivate us, then we will work hard to excel. So for example, in our company or in our class, if there's someone that we are competing with, right, for one reason or the other, we are competitors, then, okay, we want to make sure that the other person doesn't get the promotion, we are the ones who are getting the promotion, right? If they're not the ones getting the raise, we are the ones, even if they get it, but we want to be the first ones to get the raise. Right, in the classroom, right? If there's a classmate that you compete with, then you want to make sure you get the best marks, right? You're doing better than them, and that you win, you know, the awards and so on and so forth. So when we have this motivation, a competition or some sort of performance that's required, or a big game or a big test, then we have that incentive and that motivation. Otherwise, maybe not so much, right? Maybe not so much. Then it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's okay. You know, I don't really need to give it my best effort. And you see, my brothers and sisters, our life, this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, He Himself has described it as a test. Right? And one of the verses of the Quran, which personally for me have been, subhanAllah, of course, all the verses of the Quran are filled with great wisdom and great teachings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one that I often find myself going back to is when in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ And He's referring to Himself, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا That He is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified be He, is the one who created death and created life. Why? To test you as to which of you is best indeed. So my brothers and sisters, life is not just filled with tests. Life is a test. Okay, it's not filled with tests. It is a test. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And it's not just about how we behave when we face challenges. It's not just about how we behave when, you know, how I behave when I have a problem. It's not just about how I behave when I'm faced with some difficulty or when things go wrong, so to speak. But it's also about how we behave when everything is well. Because the entire life is a test. It doesn't mean that, you know what, you see what happens is some difficulty comes upon us, you know, somebody gets sick, you get into a car crash, you know, something happens, and you say, okay, this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is. But the entire life is a test. Okay, so whether you have difficulty or you don't, the whole thing is one package, it's one test. And if you notice, if you listen carefully to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Right? So the purpose of this test is not just to see who can do the right thing, but who can do the best thing. Right? And this is very important to remember. So the purpose of this test, of this life, this test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is not just to see who can pass, who can do the right thing, but rather who can do the best thing. Right? So it's not just about what's right, but it's about what's best. Right? And this is the test of this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us into. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, he has stated, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, He has commanded, He has prescribed ihsan in everything, in all things. Now what is ihsan? It's often translated as excellence, perfection, proficiency, in all things, in all matters. Okay, so not just when you have a big test, right? Not just when, you know, there's something at stake, not just when you're really going forward to get that prize or that award or that nomination or that promotion or that raise, but rather, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed ihsan, excellence, perfection, proficiency in all things, in all matters. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that hadith also even mentions the slaughtering, the sacrificing of an animal. That if you need to sacrifice an animal, right, which is something big because we're taking another life. We're taking another life. This is not, you know, a joke. This is something which is serious because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that life to that animal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us kindness to animals as well, right, and to all living creatures. Okay, so even if you have to take a life for illegitimate purpose, like the life of an animal, so that you can eat its meat and use its skin and so on and so forth, the Prophet ﷺ said, he instructed us to do it in the best manner. Do it in the best way possible, so that the animal does not feel pain, or it minimizes the pain that the animal is going to feel. Sharpen your knife, right? Don't go with a blunt knife, so that when you are sacrificing the animal, that it prolongs the process and it's painful for the animal. Make it sharp, make it swift, so that the pain is minimized to what is absolutely necessary and nothing more than that. And also, in other places, in other guidance that the Prophet ﷺ has given us, right, we're instructed that we shouldn't even sacrifice an animal in front of other animals, because it's going to put fear in the hearts of the other animals. It's going to make them feel bad when they see another one of their own being sacrificed and being slaughtered. So this is the kindness and the character and the mercy that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us with regards to animals even. So we can even imagine what it is with human beings, right? So perfection in all matters, excellence in all matters, even when it comes to taking the life of an animal for illegitimate purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and we say this often at the end of each khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do justice and to do ihsan. Be just and do ihsan. Now the commentators of the Quran, the Mufassirun, have expanded upon this. And they have said that we can actually take two meanings from this. Okay, and both are proper understandings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And number one is ihsan, excellence when it comes to worship. Excellence when it comes to worship. Okay, because when you're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just meant to be just a bunch of rituals that we do, a bunch of rituals that we do, so we just come and we say Allahu Akbar and we bow and, you know, or we fast and we don't eat and khalas, that's it, we have a party at the end of the day and, you know, it's all good. Right? That's not the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The state of worship should be that when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel something in our hearts. We are conscious of His presence, and thus the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about ihsan, excellence in worship, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. Is that you worship Allah, you serve Allah as though you could see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. For though you cannot see Him, yet He sees you. Okay, so the excellence in worship, in offering our salah, when we are standing in our rows or praying by ourselves, the excellent state, the best state we could be in at that time of worship, is that we are imagining that we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is actually not possible for any human eye in this world. Okay, because Musa alayhi salam wanted to see, he loved, you know, he was a friend of Allah, right? Khalilullah. So he really wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he got so excited that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking to him directly. So he really wanted to see Him. But, you know, it's not going to happen. Okay? He passed out, there was a big bolt of lightning, mountains, you know, is gone, flattened, Musa alayhi salam falls unconscious, right? And then he seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, okay, I'm a true believer, I'm not going to ask you for anything like this, right? So we can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our eyes in this world. Our eyes are not capable of seeing Him. We can't even see the stars without a telescope, right? And the other galaxies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater than that, right? But I mean the stars that we are not able to see. We see some with our eyes, obviously, but there are many others that we cannot see with our eyes. So our eyes are not capable of grasping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least not in this world. Although in paradise, inshaAllah, the greater thing for the believers after receiving paradise, and that they will cherish most, even more than paradise, will be actually seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can give you an idea of the beauty and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in paradise, you will have absolutely everything you want. But the believers will cherish the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time more than what they have in paradise. Subhanallah. Okay, so, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. So the excellence in worship is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we can see Him, and we cannot see Him, so at least we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, He is seeing us. We are conscious of His presence. So this should be the state of mind and the heart when we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, right, the scholars, the commentators of the Qur'an say that the ihsan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, which He has commanded to us, is excellence in all our actions. Right, so not just in worship. The excellence in worship is very important. But excellence in all our actions, all our habits, all our morals, relations, interactions that we have, whether they are between believers, between there are people who are not Muslim, between even with animals, as I mentioned earlier. Right? All of these interactions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, should be of an excellent nature. Not just of a good nature. Not just an okay nature. But they need to be of an excellent nature. So the standard needs to be set high. Standard needs to be set high. It can't be mediocre. Right? It can't just be so-so. It should not just be 50-50. The standard of excellence should be high. It's interesting. Imam Qurtubi, one of the famous commentators of the Qur'an, one of the Mufassirun, he says that a person, especially for people who have pets, right? Listen to this. So a person in whose house there is a cat. Okay, so a person has a pet cat. And the cat is not fed. Or there are birds in a cage in a person's house, and they are not taken care of, then no matter how devoted that person may be in the acts of worship, that person cannot be, will not be considered as one of the muhsinun, one of the people who do good. Even if a person is a devoted worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he has or she has a pet, a cat or some birds or any other animal at home, and they are not taken care of, they are not fed, this person is not from the muhsinun, is not from the people who do good. So the teachings of our faith and this command to do ihsan is complete. It's vast. It's not just limited to acts of worship. It's not just limited to our interactions. But it is a whole. So my dear brothers and sisters, striving to do what's best, striving to do what is best should be a part of who we are. This should be a part of who we are as Muslims. striving to do what is best. So whenever we are to do something, okay, or even if you have nothing to do, okay, whenever we decide to do something, or even if you have nothing to do and you have free time, the question is, what is the best thing I can do? Or what is the best way to use this? What is the best thing I can do? Right? And that's how we will increase productivity. That's how we increase efficiency. Okay, at every single moment, at every single decision, the question is, what's the best way to do this? What's the best way I can accomplish this? Whatever I am trying to do. Okay, and there are certain factors to consider. Okay, so for the believer, the first, the primary concern, the primary factor is seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So if you're going to do something and you think it's the best way to do it, but it's going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's not the best thing to do. Clearly. Okay? So there's no question about that. Okay? If something appears to be best, but by doing it, you're going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to go against His commands, and it's not the best thing to do. Clearly. Okay, that should be a no-brainer. Okay, so the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first factor. Second factor, for the believer, because we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of examples for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an that in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful pattern of conduct. The best of examples. Okay, so the second factor to consider are the teachings and the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, and for both of these, the first and the second one, so seeking the pleasure of Allah or not displeasing Allah, and following the teachings and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need some knowledge for that. Okay, we need to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. We need to know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and what he said. Okay, and this is why it is important for us to seek knowledge, right? To continue seeking knowledge, inshallah. Third factor to consider, the correctness of what we are doing. Okay, it should be appropriate, it should be legal. Okay, if we are living in a place, for example, we live in Canada, okay? So if you're going to make a decision, if you're going to try to decide what the best way to do something is, it can't be something illegal. Okay, because if we do something illegal, right, first of all, we are breaking a covenant that we have, that is that we are going to live as dutiful citizens who obey the law and who respect the laws of the land. Yet also, we are going to be causing trouble for ourselves as well. So that can't be something that is best if it's going to be incorrect and if it's going to be illegal. And finally, number four, pleasantness. Doing it in the best way includes doing it in a way which is pleasant, in a way which is nice, which is kind, which is good. So the best way, to summarize all of this, is to do something while pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, in the nicest and the most appropriate way, while minimizing harms to others. While minimizing harm to others and even to ourselves. Okay? So to do something while pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, in the nicest and the most appropriate way possible, and at the same time while minimizing harm to others and ourselves. Okay, so this is the basic criteria of trying to figure out if something is the best or not. Now that may be hard, okay, to understand theoretically, so let's look at some examples. Okay, so you're at work, okay, you're at school, or maybe in the masjid, okay, and you see someone doing something which you think is wrong, or you know is wrong, okay? So they're breaking some rules at work, or, you know, someone is treating someone badly, or cheating, or whatever it is, okay? Or someone comes, you see someone in the community, and you think they're doing something which is inappropriate, okay? So the best thing that you can do is, yes, try to educate them and try to correct them. Okay, that's the best thing you can do. Now the question is why? What's the intention for correcting that person? And this is important, especially when it comes to the masjid. You know, there's a lot of talk about things that turn people away from the masjid, that turn people away from the Muslim community. Okay, there's that documentary called Unmasked, right? It talks about these issues. Okay, so one of those issues is the environment that we have in our communities, in our masajid. Okay, one of the biggest problems is, unfortunately, someone is new. Okay, they're new to Islam, they recently started practicing, they don't know much, they've heard different things. they say, okay, you know what, it's Ramadan, it's Friday, it's Eid, whatever it is, let me go to the masjid and let me try to make some effort. Okay, they get that in their heart. They have that desire. They go to the masjid. Okay, now perhaps they're not dressed in the best way possible, or they don't know how to do something, maybe they don't know how to pray properly, whatever it is, right? And someone approaches them. He says, brother, sister, astaghfirullah, what are you doing? Don't you know, why are you here in the masjid? You know, if someone like you shouldn't come to the masjid. Now, what is that going to do to that person? Okay, or no, don't you know, haven't you learned this, that you know, that you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay, so this is not the right way to approach this, and this is why it is important to understand this. So the best thing to do is, yes, to correct and to reach out to that person. The question is why? With what intention? The intention must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? An intention that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if we have the intention that we are putting someone down, will that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. If we have the intention that we are going to correct this person so that we can show our superiority, that I know more than them, that I am better than them, is that something that's going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Okay, so our intention needs to be most correct. And then we must also approach the situation in the nicest and the most appropriate manner. Okay, so you, of course, when you're talking to someone, approaching someone and telling them that there's something wrong with what they're doing, they're naturally going to get defensive because nobody likes to be told what they're doing is wrong. Right? Nobody likes to be corrected. Okay? Because, you know, we go on the defensive when that happens. So reach out to them, meet them, talk to them in the best way possible. Okay? And what is that? With a smile, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? You say salam, you meet them with a smile. You encourage and appreciate them first. Right? Encourage them for being here. Appreciate what they have tried to do. Be non-judgmental. Don't judge them for their appearance. Don't judge them for what they seem like they are doing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't judge the person who walked into the masjid and urinated. Right? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted to stop him, and they were getting upset. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let him finish." And once he had finished and they had cleaned up everything, then he called them and he said, "Okay, you know, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the masjid. This is not something that we do here." Right? So that is the right approach. So we approach the person in a non-judgmental way. And we minimize harm. Because when we are correcting someone, there is the possibility that they may be harmed. They may be embarrassed. Right? We may turn them away, as I mentioned. Right? So we want to minimize that as much as possible. Okay? So that they don't feel that they're unwelcome. They don't get embarrassed and they don't get turned away. Right? So this is one example. Another example is that of marriage. Okay? So when you're trying to get married, you want to find the best spouse in the best way possible. And again, the intention needs to be clear. It is why? Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to find this spouse? Why? Because you want to have a peaceful and loving life. You want to raise a good family. You want a structure with which you can follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want to do it in a way that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so you want to make sure that the interactions you have beforehand are respectful and they are limited. Because if they go beyond the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, then that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treat it as an act of worship. Take it seriously. Follow his guidelines. Okay? Then look at what has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Examine the teachings and the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to marriage. Because what are the qualities that I should be looking for in a spouse? Okay, what are the top priorities? Is everything about looks? This is a big problem today. Okay, because the media will continue to artificially inflate the standards of beauty. And we are just so silly that we fall for it. And then when we want to get married, that's what we look for. And when we can't find it, we get disappointed. And then we don't know what to do. Okay? So what are the qualities that the Prophet ﷺ has told us that we should look for? Okay? He has taught us simplicity. Is that something that we are practicing? Do we have the blessings of our parents? Right? Are we doing it legally? Are we registering the marriage, doing it appropriately? Right? Are we interacting in a good, in a decent way? Are we setting clear expectations? Right? Are we making sure there's no trickery, no tricking and deception when it comes to the arrangements and the discussions beforehand? Another example, we meet a new person. Okay, what's the best thing you can do? So you meet them nicely with a smile. You say salam to them. You welcome them. Help them if they need help. Be good company for them. Benefit them or benefit from them. Right? So these are the things that we can do. It's just some examples. So any scenario, any interaction, any moment, the question for all of us should be, what is the best thing I can do with this opportunity at this particular moment? And the most important, my brothers and sisters, and especially my young friends, is our character. Our character, our dealings, our interactions, our communications with people must be in the best way possible. Okay, in the best way possible. So for the children who are here, aim to be the best in your class. Right? The Muslim children, as Muslims, you should not just be an afterthought. Right? You should be the best one in your school. You should be the best one in your class. The best one on the bus. And perhaps, you know, academically, it may not suit everyone, right? So everyone has strengths and weaknesses. So there may be some strengths in some subjects that you have and other, you know, you may be weak, that's fine. But when it comes to especially the character and your behavior, you should be known as the children that have the best character in the school, in the class, in your group, on your bus. You should be known for giving the best effort, for having the best manners. This is what should distinguish you from everyone else, that should make you stand out. At home, we should aim to be the best parents, the best children, the families with the best values and the best behavior, and the best neighbors. Out of your whole street, your whole neighborhood, you should be the best of the neighbors when it comes to interactions with one another, because again, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ has greatly emphasized as well, regardless of who the neighbors are. When it comes to work and to business, we should be the ones who are the most committed in your workplace. The Muslims should be the one who are the most committed, the most honest, the most hardest working, the most reliable. Why? Because this is what our faith teaches us. This is what we learn from the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So aim to be the best in everything. But if you need to prioritize, then most importantly in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have excellence in worship and in your relationship with Allah, then in everything else, and especially those things that involve dealings with one another. Because this has an impact on others. This has an impact on you. This has an impact on your community and your faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that nothing will be heavier. Imagine this. Nothing will be heavier on the day of resurrection in the scale of the believer than good manners. Nothing will be heavier in the scale of the believer on the day of resurrection than good manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates one who utters foul and coarse language. Right? We have this disease where we use words, right, which are inappropriate, which are bad, which are foul. This is not acceptable. They're not just words. I was a kid too. At one point I used to think, oh, they're just words. They don't mean anything. No. They have an effect on our hearts and our minds and on others. Okay? So beware of foul and coarse language, of bad words and swear words. Just because everyone else is saying them doesn't mean you need to say it as well. Okay? Guard your tongue and be those who have the best manners. Be gentle as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, "Oh Aisha, you must be gentle. Alayki bil rifq. You must be gentle, very gentle. Verily, gentleness is not in anything except that it beautifies it. Gentleness is not in anything except that it makes it more beautiful. And it is not removed from anything except that it disgraces it." Okay, so if you need, even in the toughest of situations, take an approach of gentleness and it will beautify the situation. It will beautify your approach. And if you take out gentleness, then it will make it disgraceful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. It is very sad when we come across news stories, nationally, internationally, where we find crimes being committed, terrible things happening, and the names are those of Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Right? This is not what we should be standing for. This is not what we should be recognized for. We must be the people of honesty, the people of character, the people of morality, of high values, high standards, those who work hard, those who excel, those who are recognized and understood to be those who are good and who are positive, who have a positive effect on their communities and their societies. None of us are totally perfect, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. But let us strive forward to be the best in everything. And if we make that effort, even if we are not the best in everything, because that is impossible, because we are not perfect. But even if we are not the best, then with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, you will continue to grow and improve in the best of ways. InshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us excel and give us the ability to excel in our worship, to excel in our character and our dealings, and to excel in everything that we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth, our young people, protect all of us, and guide us towards everything that is good, and protect us that from everything that is evil for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for us. My father's sister's husband passed away in Pakistan a few days ago. So I ask that you make dua for his forgiveness, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete forgiveness, and all of those who have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his rank and all of those who have passed away in their rank in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good ending to all of us, inshallah. Ameen wa akhra da'wa alhamdulillah.
Allah.